You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Mystery Crate. How's everybody doing today?
Meh.
Doing well, Jim.
You know, I gotta be honest with you. This whole thing, like, Jim Nance shouldn't own the ability to say hello, friends, to other people, right? Because every time I say something like that, they're like, are you Jim Nance? It's like, no, I'm not Jim Nance, but can I say hello? Can I have friends? Like, he owns both of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, when people have catchphrases, it is their catchphrase. It would be like if you started Mystery Crate by saying, booyah, or you are live. Like, no, these are phrases that belong to people.
No. No. And you know what? I'm going to take it a step further. Maybe I shouldn't, but I will, because I feel like I'm amongst friends right now, you, the listening audience included. I feel like there's a higher likelihood of the people that I'm saying hello friends to actually being friends with me than the people that Jim Nance is saying hello friends to being friends with Jim Nance. How about that?
Wow. Welcome to Flavor Town.
That should be your thing, Chris.
Yeah, that absolutely
should
be. That's
a good one, right?
That should be your thing. Are you going to remember to do that next week, though?
Probably not.
I will start next week's Mystery Crate with Welcome to Flavor Town.
Does Guy Fieri still do stuff?
He does Triple D, man. Are you kidding me? And he's got Grocery Games. The guy's all over the place.
What's Grocery Games?
You don't know Guy's Grocery Games? Triple G?
No.
It's just a cooking show that's in a fake grocery store. It's the most fake-looking grocery store ever. It's like three aisles, and they like run around with carts. It's like, you have 10 seconds to go get all your ingredients, and then they have to like run to every aisle, grab their ingredients.
So it's Supermarket Sweep.
With cooking.
Ah. Speaking of food, today we have a new episode of Rate, Subscribe, Review with a special guest. Kevin Clark from The Ringer is joining us, and he's going to help us review something.
I actually learned today that Kevin Clark once got hit by a car.
Hmm.
He wrote a story about his interest in Formula One based off of that Netflix series, which, by the way, I've heard is tremendous. I think it's like Drive to Survive or something like that. And at the beginning of the piece in which he describes his interest in Formula One, he says, well, one time I got hit by a car, so I took up alternate interests. I was like, wow, how do we not know that about Kevin Clark?
Did he survive?
Well, obviously.
I've always enjoyed Kevin Clark, and I started enjoying him even more once he started following me on Twitter.
Yeah, of course.
A couple years ago, he was one of the first people where I was like, wow, Kevin Clark is following me on Twitter. And I started reading his stuff more.
No, you didn't. You didn't start
I did, honestly. I did become more aware of Kevin Clark. Like, I always knew who he was, like, smart dude covering football for The Ringer. But once he followed me, I felt like more of a connection to him. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start reading this guy's stuff.
I don't believe you.
The operative word in what Chris said is, I started reading him more.
That's right.
I don't believe that job has been finished.
But if I never read, if I never read him previously, then if I've started reading him more, then all I have to do is read an article. And
that's all you've read.
All right. Roy, I bet you I'm doing a lot more Kevin Clark reading than you are, okay?
You're doing a lot more reading than I am. I don't have time for that.
Hello, friends. Why don't we do some Kevin Clark listening now?
Welcome to Flavortown.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting and rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
Welcome to Rate, Subscribe, Review. I'm Billy Gill. I'm joined by Charlie Kravitz, Charlie Hume, Lorenzo Rodriguez, and today we have a special treat for everyone. We have The Ringer's Kevin Clark joining us later today to review McDonald's new crispy chicken sandwich, because Why wouldn't we have Kevin Clark on to review McDonald's new crispy chicken sandwich? Guys, have you had the sandwich yet? I feel like there's probably cheaters in here because we spoke earlier this week and we're like, all right, we're all going to do this live on the show together. We've all gone to McDonald's. I have my bag right here of McDonald's.
You guys got fries? You go full meal or?
I did go fries. Actually, you know what I did? I didn't go full meal and I meant to. And then I realized that they didn't charge me for the meal. So I got a large Coke on the side, which, by the way, one of the best deals in fast food, McDonald's, $1 for any size drink. So you could get the large Coke for $1. And then I just got a small fry.
My little trip to the drive-thru experience and getting the sandwich was, I say we're off to a bad start in this review because the fries at McDonald's, which are normally amazing, undercooked, a little bit soggy.
I'm most worried about you, Chunky Dog, because you are the person we've all kind of made a vow to not cheat for a week now. And you're the one that I'm most concerned with because I feel like you're most likely to try something.
I would never taint the reputation of this podcast in such a way as to cheat and eat a sandwich ahead of the segment we all agreed to do together and eating sandwiches together. So just you can take that to the bank.
Lorenzo, you're actually the person I would suspect last.
That's why.
To cheat the integrity of the sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was really, guys, like, I was really hungry.
I would expect you to be the most upset if someone cheated. I expect you just to collapse defeated if you learned that somebody cheated about the sandwich.
If indeed one of you degenerates has actually besmirched the good name of Rate Subscribe Review and started doing your own pre-review,
who would do
then
that?
We're going to have some problems here.
Preview, some would say.
No.
Should we talk to Kevin Clark?
Yeah, let's do it.
We're joined now by the first guest in the storied two-episode history of Rate Subscribe Review. Could not possibly be more excited about the sandwich we're about to review that is part of the growing chicken sandwich wars. And also, you know, we're here. This is Rate Subscribe Review, so please subscribe to the Ringer NFL Show podcast. I'm sure you can find a way to subscribe, follow, find Slow News Day, his show, in the various corners of the internet, various Ringer social media platforms. We're joined now by Kevin Clark. And so, Kevin, I just want to start with, what is the first reaction you had when Billy Gill reached out to you and said, we'd like to have you on to eat the McDonald's chicken sandwich?
So there's a couple stages of this. Number one is I got it early in the week, so I'm kind of doing a bunch of different stuff. I agreed to it. I like you guys. I like Philly. And I said, absolutely. What I'll say is that the turn it took is when I explained this to my wife, and it happened this morning. And I said, hey, I got to run to McDonald's like 10 a.m. I was like, I got to run to McDonald's a little bit. I'm going to get a chicken sandwich. And I said it kind of like what I'm talking to you guys. I, you know, just over the course of the day, it's a thing you do. And that was when she looked at me like I was a completely insane person. So I think that was when it hit me that this was a little bit strange. I had not had McDonald's. I think I remember the last time I had McDonald's. It was 2012, I believe. I used to cover the Knicks, and next to the train station in Tarrytown, you have to take back to the city. There's a McDonald's there. Sometimes in desperation, I would just grab something there. That, I believe, was the last time I had McDonald's. So it was a journey, I guess, is the way I would phrase it, guys.
The thing that's strange about the request is I don't communicate with Kevin often. Like, we don't talk like a ton, right?
First DM I've ever gotten from you.
Yeah. So the last time I spoke with you, and I don't know if you remember this, was last year, 2020 Super Bowl. It was Radio Row. I was walking in. I was with my friend Allison Turner. We run into Kevin Clark as soon as we
went
to the giant convention center. And, you know, I say hello, introduce myself. Hey, how's it going? And then I introduce Allison too. And I thought that it was somewhat normal, just kind of knowing the relationship I have with Allison. Maybe I said something awkward, uncomfortable, whatever, because we kind of went our separate ways. And then I got a lot from Allison, like, why are you so awkward? Why did you make that so uncomfortable? Why did you do that? So this was kind of like a thing, right? So this was early in the week. I want to say like Wednesday, right? Which is when Radio Row really starts kind of ramping up. So then we'd see Kevin, like, you know, from afar the rest of the week. And I'd be like, look, it's Kevin Clark. You want to go say hi again? And she's like, leave me alone. So sure enough, end of the week, Friday, Radio Row, we're going to leave. And as we're going to go leave, we're going down like this long escalator to go out. Yeah. And who's in front of us? Kevin Clark, which for some reason, Allison would always say, hey, Kevin Clark, how are you? Which I don't know how you feel about people doing first name, last name every time they talk to you, but it's something that she was doing. So while this is also going on, she's been oddly obsessed and bothering me all week about how we're going to get to the Super Bowl, because we had done Super Bowls before, but we hadn't covered the actual game. So normally, like in Atlanta, whatever, we just go out of town after Radio Row's done. So we run into Kevin and she says, "Hi, Kevin Clark, how are you getting to the Super Bowl?" Which was like weird, because that's just how she picked up the conversation. Like, if this is a conversation they were having, and he's like, "Oh, well, you know, you can actually take these buses from like the media hotels.
Yeah.
It takes you right there. It's really easy."
Wasn't my first rodeo.
Lifesaver. Yeah, we weren't pros at the time like Kevin was, but he gave us this hot tip. So we figure out, okay, this is great. So we go to the hotel, we take it, we make it to the game, we do everything we have to do, we go back, and then we're talking and we're like, man, Kevin saved us like hundreds of dollars in either buying parking on StubHub, which is what we were doing, or getting an Uber, because the prices were insane to get there.
Yeah.
We should thank him. We should send him something. So she's great, notoriously, at getting gifts. Allison Turner is. So she's great, like, you know what? I'm going to reach out to him. I'm going to find out what he likes. We're going to send him a gift. I go, all right, perfect. Let me know what you get him. We'll split it in half. I'll send you the money. It's going to be great, whatever. So then fast forward a year later, this year, January, February, I'm talking to her. Allison now works at The Ringer. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, do you work with Kevin Clark? And she's like, oh, yeah, I do. I go, by the way, you never told me how much I owed you for the gift for Kevin last year for letting us know about the buses and all that. And she goes, oh, I never got him anything. Never bought you a present, reached out to you, asked you your address, told you she was sending you something, never bought anything. And now, fast forward a little more to like a week ago, I spoke to her, and I'm assuming you know this by now. She's like, oh, I got Kevin Clark a Starbucks gift card. I'm like, after over a year, this is the gift that you get him, the most thoughtless thing, a gift card for Starbucks.
So there's a couple of discrepancies there. Number one, Allison was mortified the first time we talked when she realized she hadn't gotten me something. Like, she was so apologetic, and I didn't care. Like, I did get a text a year ago or 14 months ago that said, what's your address, from Allison Turner, and then no follow-up whatsoever. I gave her that, and then I actually, because I was on vacation at the time I got the text, I thought I had missed something. Like, I felt kind of awkward about it because I thought something was going to come. Like, it could be anything, right? But, and so I didn't think it was a gift necessarily. I just thought that they needed to, you know, maybe I'm on the Levitard family Christmas list. I don't know, something like that. And so I think that she was mortified when she realized this. She called me about it and we talked through it. I don't care. I was not expecting anything. But then she said that she was going to pay me back in guests for Slow News Day, and she did that. So I was not expecting anything extra, and then she gave me a gift certificate to Starbucks. It was fine. I think that the thing I took away when she was telling me this was that you guys were scouring through, you and her were scouring through my social media to find out what I liked.
I'm trying to think if I participated in that or if I just told her, like, yeah, I'm going to go through and figure out what he likes.
I was informed there may have been some group stalking on my social media to find out what I would appreciate.
That's very possible. And if someone reached out to you that you didn't know, I'm just going to tell you this. Allison is known to have one or two Finstas. You're familiar with Finstas? Yeah.
Sure. Fake
Instagrams? Yeah. She has one or two Finstas. I believe one of them is named Julie. So if you have someone named Julie that you don't know, that might be Allison following you. So just kind of keep an eye out for that. The thing about this, though, that's interesting is that Allison did not go to Charlie Hume's wedding, and for 2 years now has been giving him about not sending her a thank you card for the gift that she sent him, while she herself not sending you a gift after promising you a gift. Well, not promising you, but making it known that something was on the way and then delivering absolutely nothing.
Well, there are several discrepancies in that story as well, because she did send me a gift. And I was really hoping the whole thank you note issue thing was going to drop off, you know, maybe in the months, the years after my wedding, but it hasn't. And here we go again. It's got another fresh news cycle in it right here.
Charlie, why don't you just sit down and spend a couple hours and just write these notes?
So I got married in September of 2018. So it's one of those things where I feel like, to toot my own horn a little bit, I write a great thank you note when I invest my time in it and care in it. But it's like I have this weird thank you note writer's block. But I think I actually, this is a real diversion from the Sandwich Review and other things, but I think I had a breakthrough recently. I'm going to get back into writing in cursive. I had a friend who was like, I write all these notes in cursive. They're beautiful. People love receiving them. And I was like, huh, I haven't used cursive since, I don't know, maybe second, third grade. So I went back just to see if I knew the characters, you know, Google imaged a cursive, you know, set of cursive characters, kind of had the knack for it. I sent two great thank you notes recently in cursive, loved writing them. So I think that's what's going to get me back in the game.
So you're back. You're all the way back.
In the thank you note department and also the cursive department, I'm all the way back. 100%.
You have no occasions to write thank you notes for right now, though.
Oh, I've got occasions.
Sounds like he's got a backlog.
He also proclaimed he's not going to do them, though. He's like, you know what? Enough times passed. Those aren't going out.
Yeah. You know what? I'll say this. I think we spent plenty of time on my lack of thank you note writing habits. So we're going to skip on to the next subject here. Kevin, so we...
Wait.
Okay, Kevin's not going to let me out.
I have an idea for you. Why don't you write an apology note for your lack of thank you notes?
Yes.
Wow.
That's good. And then I still get to break out the cursive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That you have your calligraphy, you're on fire. You need to write something. You can't do the thank you notes. You do the apology note for the lack of thank you notes.
I think you give a gift with the apology note so that Allison has to write you a thank you note.
What about like a Starbucks card?
Yep.
Just send a bunch of Starbucks cards to people. Exactly. Yeah.
Just send them out.
Look at this. Solving a lot of problems right now. This is good stuff. Well, so, okay. Yep. So we're theoretically here for a review of a chicken sandwich. We all have McDonald's chicken sandwiches here. We're all very excited to dig into this.
My wife made me put mine on a plate.
Ooh.
Like, class this up a little bit.
So I'm curious. I think that's a good place to start is like, what is the current state of your sandwich right now, Kevin? Like, is it still warm? Did you make any order modifications? What's the sandwich looking like?
No modifications. I didn't know the parameters of it. I'm not gonna break away from the long and short tradition of the brand new chicken sandwich here at McDonald's. And so I got it a couple hours ago and then I heated it up. So we're looking at lukewarm here.
Now, are you invested, Kevin, in the chicken sandwich wars? Like, were you someone that had to get to Popeyes quickly when that was a whole craze?
No, not Popeyes. I'm a huge Chick-fil-A guy. Huge Chick-fil-A guy. From Florida, not too far from Georgia, which is their spiritual and corporate home. So if there's any fast food that I partake in, it would definitely be a plain chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A, tons of mayonnaise, take or leave the pickles. I'm not a huge pickle guy. I'm going to have the pickles on this just because I want the full experience. But no, the chicken sandwich is very important to me.
Okay.
Now, you just for clarification, you got the regular crisp because I saw that there's a spicy one and there's also something.
I got the regular. Yeah. I got the regular. I used to, the only good spicy, Wendy's had a pretty good spicy about 15 years ago. Haven't had it in a while. Don't know the current state of the spicy. Don't want to recommend a spicy that I haven't had in 15 years. I'm just saying, I've enjoyed spicy in my day, but let's just, you know, you dance with the date you came with.
I'm going to co-sign that Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich. That was my college late night order, and it was elite at the time.
I can confirm Wendy's still makes a good spicy. Although I do think, so we'll find out today. We have a challenger. I do think Popeyes is currently on top of the game.
Ahead of Chick-fil-A.
I was also having this discussion with my wife, who was similarly confused as to why I was going out to purchase McDonald's chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
But also asked me to get an extra one so we could, you know, she could have the chicken sandwich as well. Her thought is Popeyes is the best tasting sandwich, but the back end damage that does to your intestinal system, all sorts of things like that, is not great. So she still selects Chick-fil-A as the best because it's got the best long term impact on your body.
So. They're all pretty bad.
I think we're getting a positive impact from eating Chick-fil-A.
They are not.
This isn't like going to a juice bar in LA or something and getting a Sawgrass smoothie. Okay, like it's all going to do some damage.
Without further ado, shall we pull our sandwiches out
into this thing?
Let's probably start with guest observations from Kevin. What presentation on rate, subscribe, review? We do obviously a lot of rating, we do a lot of subscribing, we do a lot of reviewing, but when it comes to a rating scale. The scale is yours to define. Like last week, we were rating things on a pumpkin scale. So I could tell you, you know, hey, this sandwich is a 13 pumpkin sandwich. You're like, wow, like that could be really good. It's like, yeah, but the patch is 26 pumpkins. So that's not so
right.
Good. So you can create your own scale, whatever, wherever you see fit. So let's start with presentation. What kind of rating are you giving the sandwich?
I got to tell you, I don't know how to approach this because it looks exactly like a Chick-fil-A sandwich. So does that help or does that hurt? They didn't do anything. They didn't mess with tradition. But on the other hand, you know, could they have gotten more creative? I don't know. So I'm going to give it's not the most inspiring sandwich I've ever seen in my entire life. So if you're going, let's do baseball. Let's do five tools. It's a five tool chicken sandwich. I'm going to go, it's got three tools out of the five on presentation.
Ooh. Okay. All right. Yeah, five. Not the end of the world, but yeah, you're in the bigs. You're probably borderline guy. Okay. So shall we take our first bite, everybody?
Let's do it.
This is really good radio right here. A little ASMR action. Hmm. That's a sandwich.
Soft bread.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Soft bread. That's for
sure. Soft or soggy, Billy?
Soggy. I didn't want to say soggy because we're for sale. Like, if McDonald's wants to sponsor us, we used to be a Burger King pod, but if we want to be McDonald's pod, I don't want to say they have soggy bread.
Also could be a product of the fact we ordered a while ago. Yeah, we ordered a while ago. Could be soggy. Yeah.
You guys all kept your pickles, huh?
Add one pickle, dump the other one.
Oh. Mm. I'm not a pickle guy, and I thought I was going to keep them just to kind of be honest about this, but then I realized no one's going to know if I have pickles in this or not, so let me take them out. I'm not a pickle guy.
You're not a pickle guy. The pickle's going to taint your
Yeah, review. I still taste it.
If you have a pickle on any sandwich, it's a pickle sandwich.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
because you get the it's essence, like being, the juice.
It's like how you can't be a little bit pregnant. You can't have a little bit of pickle. It's a pickle sandwich or it's not.
Do you ever like to have a sandwich where you let them prepare it with the pickle, but then you pull the pickle later because you want a little bit of pickle flavor?
I would say that I think that you're high maintenance if you're going to a place like Chick-fil-A and saying, hold the pickle. You just take the pickle out. It's not the end of the world. It's not going to it's not like putting mustard on it where you can't scrape it off. Just get rid of the pickle.
That's true. And this little essence of it. So now you're a few bites in, Kevin.
Yep.
I'm also, as you can hear, a few bites in. What's the rating thus far?
I like it. It tastes like exactly like I thought it was going to be. It's not going to change my life. I'm not going to get addicted to McDonald's going forward. But I would give it a definite 3.5 tools out of five tools.
Wow. Yeah. Mm. Let's hear from the rest of the crew here. Billy, sandwich review. What are you thinking, man?
You know what I'm surprised by is that there's no sauce. There's no mayonnaise. Yeah. There's no lettuce. These are things that usually accompany a chicken sandwich, even a McDonald's chicken sandwich. But as someone who likes a plain sandwich, it actually is working in my favor that I don't have to order it plain. I don't have to ask, can you take off the mayonnaise? Can you take off the lettuce? So I'm going to give it four tools.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, four
good
tools.
Score. Good score.
Yeah. That's a good play right there. Kravitz.
So wait, Billy, did you get the regular or the spicy?
I got the regular.
I got the spicy, which is, I think, the same thing, but just with spicy mayo. Mm. So it has a little spicy sauce.
It has sauce.
There you go.
Yep. The sauce, pretty good.
The sauce, no, the sauce is not the boss. This
wait,
sauce is slack.
The spicy chicken sandwich is not spicy. It just has spicy sauce.
I'm pretty sure it just has spicy mayo on it.
So how many tools, Kravitz?
So there's context for this. For the last 2 months, I've been doing the TB12 method. So this is the best thing I've ever eaten in my life right now. After eating like kale smoothies and grain bowls since the Super Bowl, this is a 4.6.
Wow.
With that said, I still rank really it below Chick-fil-A and Popeyes, but just the context of what I've eaten over the last 60 days, it's
wait amazing. A minute. What do you rank theirs then? How can you give this a 4.5 and have it be the third best?
His scale really trends on the high side. Yeah. You don't want to get anything below a four on it.
Look,
the
we're looking for
scale.
Sponsors here.
Yeah.
Lorenzo.
You know what? I was kind of with you guys on the presentation. I thought at first when I looked under, there wasn't enough sauce because I got the spicy one. Mm. But then I looked on the other side of the other bun, slathered in it. And it does kick it up a notch, I'm assuming. Big gripe, not crispy enough.
Yeah. It's like there's almost no crisp.
Yeah.
There's no crisp to it. Yeah. And it's in the name. There's no crisp. It's on the edges. No, I want like the Popeyes one, super crispy. If I'm going to cheat, I want it to really taste like a cheat. And that means crispy, like crispy KFC chicken. I just can't put this high up there. Presentation, maybe a 3.5 as well. Actually, you know what? It's a chicken sandwich. I'm going with the foremost chicken out there, Foghorn Langhorn. I'm giving it 3 Foghorn Leghorns.
Oh, mm. You couldn't just stick to the tools that everyone else did there. So,
by the way, Lorenzo, until the end, you had totally sold me, and I regret my high ranking. I got excited.
For taste, I'm giving it a 3 Foghorn Leghorns as well, and then the little tiny chicken, the little smart brainy chicken. So it's like a 3.5.
Mm.
So I have a little bit of an admission to make. I was very hungry earlier, and so I ordered two sandwiches.
This is the most Charlie thing ever.
This makes total sense.
So I had a half sandwich earlier, and it kind of helped me kind of, but I guess I was underwhelmed. I got to be honest. I mean, we're for sale as a podcast, but I was a little underwhelmed. Yeah, I'd say right in that 3.7 tools range, if I'm allowed to go fractional. I think the Popeyes is still just, it's in a different tier. It's like it's the chicken is cooked. It's spicy. The sauce is really good. The bun's amazing. The crisp. I think that the Popeyes really, they do a crispy chicken sandwich. So it's a good effort. If I'm, on the road and I want a McDonald's chicken sandwich, or I want a chicken sandwich in general, and McDonald's is my only option, I'd eat it. But this isn't shaking up the landscape at all.
Is there a difference, Charlie, since you cheated earlier, between having one fresh and having one that's a couple hours old like everyone else is eating?
I hate to say it, no.
Wow.
It's just not.
You hate to see it.
You really hate to see it.
All right, so we can't just talk chicken sandwiches, Kevin. We also have to talk a tiny bit of football.
We have to talk. We can talk as much football as you'd like.
Great, perfect. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we have two great football analysts here. We have Kevin, and then we also have Billy, who is ranked the sixth best football analyst in the entire world by The Guardian. Kevin, do you have thoughts on these rankings?
I do. So I saw Dan Le Batard account tweet out The Guardian list of top football analysts. That was the phrasing. Top 10 football analysts. Number one, Dominique Foxworth. Absolutely. I gave a talk to a college class yesterday, and they asked me who my best podcast review ever was. And the first person that popped into my head was Dominique Foxworth. I just love the guy. Number two, I believe, was Mina Kimes. Absolutely. Been friends with her for a long time. She's been on a bunch of the shows we've done and vice versa. Great list so far. So then we keep going down and I see Billy. Mm. And I like Billy. I communicated with Billy earlier this week. And what I did, I'm not making this up, I started Googling because I was wondering if there was like a show I didn't know about. Like he had like a podcast where it was just Billy breaks down tape or something. And there wasn't. And then I again, I love Billy. I was just curious as to how this list came together.
What do you mean? You're curious as in?
I believe you were ahead of Tony Romo.
No, I was behind Tony Romo, but I was one spot ahead of Chris Collinsworth, the voice of Sunday Night Football.
Right.
Yeah.
So, let's say tomorrow, mm-hmm. Fred Godelli runs NBC Sports Football. He calls you up and he says, it's between you and Collinsworth for the booth.
Yeah.
For Sunday nights. Obviously, Breeze is coming to the pregame show this year, so there's going to be a couple shakeups, and they're going to do
the list, though.
But I'm saying that they're shaking things up because they saw the list.
Yeah,
and they're looking at you, and they're looking at Collinsworth for that spot next to Al. Make your case that they go Billy Gill instead of Chris Collinsworth.
I mean, I'd say that I have youth. Yeah, I mean, he has experience. This is what I'd tell him, right? Okay. Some of the greatest artists of our time, musicians, performers, right? They can sing, but they can't play an instrument, correct? Yeah. They can sing. They have great songs. They don't write their Elton John has someone that writes his songs for him, right? But would you question him as an artist?
Maybe.
Because he has someone else write his lyrics?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like, I feel like what's coming into question now is just because I don't know everything about football, does that mean I'm not a great NFL analyst?
What makes a great analyst?
What does make a great analyst? It's a great question, Billy.
It's a good question. I mean, according to, The Guardian, which I'm not going to lie. When I found out, I had no heads up about this. I found out when a couple of people tweeted at me at like 6 a.m, I woke up and I found out that this was a thing. And I had to click a couple links just to make sure that this was actually a thing that was out there, not something that some fan just made and, put me in. Because I was taken aback, and then I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know what? Maybe I am.
Yeah.
Maybe I am the sixth best NFL analyst in the world, right? Like, sometimes you kind of doubt yourself, you hold yourself back, and it takes other people to kind of see the best in you and see your full potential. And, maybe The Guardian sees something that I don't.
Do you think... I know Collinsworth a little bit. I've been to his house before. Done some stories with him. He's been on Fun Tuesday.
Ooh.
You think it's a tough week in the Collinsworth house this week?
Is it
just kind of a passing of the torch kind of thing, you know, between you and him?
I mean, the Guardian's a respected publication.
I read the Guardian all the time.
Yeah.
But you have to understand why I would think maybe it wasn't real, right? When I find out that I'm the sixth best NFL analyst in the world, I have to say, you know what, maybe.
No, I knew it was real. When I saw it, I knew it was real.
Maybe something changed here. Did you know because you, like Oliver, see something in me that I don't?
I just have a great appreciation for all that you do. And I think that there are hundreds of thousands of people who analyze the NFL worse than you. I keep a running ranking in my pocket. I just have a list of people. And you are number 8 on that list.
Eight.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. You know what? I appreciate that, though, because while some might see you saying 8 instead of 6 as some sort of slight, I see it as motivation. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. It means more to me to be higher on your list than it does to be higher on the Guardian list. So I feel like I need to do a little more to kind of prove myself to you, if that makes sense.
No, that's the line in the sand for 2021. Climb on my list.
Did the delayed, never arriving thank you gift have anything to do with why it is that I was lower on your list than the Guardian list?
I can't get into my methodology.
Okay.
It's proprietary.
It's fair.
Yeah. It's a formula. Come on.
I have a question for the number 6 football analyst.
Well, I mean, it's Rude Kevin's here. You can ask him some stuff too.
Wait. How is your chair slide game, Billy?
My chair slide game?
Yeah. If you're number 6 and he's number 7,
I mean, that,
yours has to be slightly better than Collinsworth.
Can we get one? Can we get one right now?
No, that's number 7. I'm number 6. I don't resort to the props and the games. You know, next time you're at his house, you can tell him.
Right here.
Anyway, so we have two great and two motivated football analysts here. And whenever that's the case, we have to pitch you two guys against each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's draft season, which means it's big board season. It's not going to make you guys go through full big boards, but maybe a little baby boards. And we'll start fastball right down the middle. Kevin first, then Billy. We'll go through a couple baby big boards. First fastball, Kevin, top 5 guys in this draft.
Wow. All right. So I'd go Lawrence 1. I would go Ja'Marr Chase, Kyle Pitts 2 and 3 in some order. Interchangeable depending on the rest of the process. Sewell's probably 4th. And then, I don't know, like Micah Parsons, 5th, maybe something like that. Here's the thing. The fact that the top 4 spots are going to be quarterbacks is mind-blowing to me. And I don't think it's going to change everything about this draft. It reminds me a little bit of the year that Goff and Wentz went 1 and 2. So then like Nick Bosa or Joey Bosa was available. Jalen Ramsey was available for a team in the top 5. So like it becomes a blessing in disguise. If you're the Eagles, okay, maybe you don't get to take a quarterback with 6 unless you want to go hunting for Mac Jones, but you can get maybe the best player in the draft. So it's fine.
That's also good. I was actually been thinking about that a lot. When you have guys like Pitts who seem like, I hate using the term generational, but like sort of like a skeleton key that's like a generational talent at the position, or you have these great receivers. Are teams 2 through 4 just going to regret these picks?
Yeah, probably. But the thing is that the thing about all modern NFL, right, is like owners just be like, what's our plan at quarterback? And then the GM's like, oh God, we got to plan a quarterback. And so that's how these quarterbacks end up moving up the draft board. Is that people get fired if you don't have a quarterback. And taking a quarterback kind of unless it's Dwayne Haskins, right? Like it buys you 2, 3, 4 years if you're a GM or a mediocre GM, excuse me, the chicken sandwich is really doing some work here. So it's a smart play if you want to keep your job to draft a quarterback and be like, well, the build starts now.
Billy, you're bored.
I liked Kevin's list. Kevin, you know, a little work. I have Zach Wilson in there, Sewell, Devontae Smith, Kyle Pitts, Trevor Lawrence. I see Mac Jones maybe sneaking his way in there possibly.
In the top 5?
Maybe. We'll see. You know, anything can happen on draft day, Kevin. We know that. You and I both know that anything can happen.
Billy, which list are you reading off of right now on your computer?
What do you mean?
What do you got up there?
I did my homework. I did.
Do you have any descriptions for why your list is that way?
I mean, Sewell, I'd say he's a dominant fat guy. You got to love a dominant fat guy. Devontae Smith, on the other hand, dominant skinny guy. So, you know, kind of go all over the place. Kyle Pitts, you won't be in the pits if you draft this guy. You know what I mean? Nope.
That's good. That's sound analysis there.
Mac Jones, a faster Tom Brady.
Who?
Mac Jones?
Who?
Don't bait him. Okay. Please don't bait him. All right.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
What do we got next, Kravitz? What do we got next?
Big board number two. It's been actually a wild free agency period. Like as a fan, one of the cooler free agency periods we've seen in a while. You know, the Bucs reloaded. Kansas City rebuilt their offensive line on the fly. They drew Kyle Long out of retirement. Yep. You had Juju Smith-Schuster turning down playing with Patrick Mahomes to go back to Pittsburgh and, you know, noodle arm Ben Roethlisberger. Kevin, what are your top five free agent destinations?
Okay, where would I want to go?
Yeah, yeah.
Kansas City would be number one. Tampa Bay would be number two. Just hang out with Tom Brady, get boat drunk. Would be very, as you know,
pretty dope.
There's a number of Floridians on this call. Yeah, we all understand that there's a, you know, boat drunk is just built different, is what I'll say about that. The Rams are probably number three. I could do that. I do kind of like the idea of Dallas in a vacuum. I think they're kind of a disaster, but I could play for Dallas. That'd be fine. And then I kind of feel like the Saints are a fun, like I've spent some time in New Orleans in the past and you see Saints players, like it's New Orleans is kind of a small downtown and like the facility isn't that far away from everything. It's in Metairie and obviously they play right in the thick of it. And like, you'll see players and they'll just be out in New Orleans. They just, it's like, it's a different community there. Like it's a different, it feels like, I remember we were at a bar one time in New Orleans and they were like, oh, like a handful of Saints players live above this bar. Like they just like in like a one bedroom apartment, they just chill. Like, it just seems like a complete, it's almost like a college environment. I kind of liked it. So the Saints would be number five on my list.
Billy, you're bored.
I didn't do it the same way that Kevin did. I did more like destinations. You know what I mean? I didn't really care so much.
You're bored.
No, I didn't care so much about the teams and how the teams are doing.
Sixth expert.
I started thinking, you know, what are places that I would want to go if I was, you know, an NFL player? Hawaii. I consider that an NFL city because of the Pro Bowl.
I'd have Hawaii. I don't think they have the Pro Bowl there anymore.
Yeah, they moved it to Orlando. Well, last year they didn't do it at all.
Number six in the world.
Yeah, exactly. They have had
the Pro Bowl there.
Yeah, I would move it back there. Would you not have it back in Hawaii? Are you anti-Hawaii for some reason?
No, I think it's great. I also think that if you only, you know, how dominant would you have to be to only play one game a year and it's the Pro Bowl? Mm-hmm. You know, you think about it that way, where you draw your salary from and stuff like that. But it's a good vibe is what I'm saying. So I'm in agreement with you.
All right.
Number one is Hawaii.
Hawaii's on there. Well, no, this is in no particular order. I'm just going to give them to you. So
he does his big boards a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Board.
You have to earn that.
Oh, is that what the confusion was before with the other board?
No, your boards are different.
Yeah. So you have vision board. Yeah, exactly. Speak it into existence. I do maybe LA. I think I'd have it on there.
Now, would that be, is that like Hawaii in the sense that you're inventing a hypothetical third team there, or is it the Rams or the Chargers?
Either one. You could choose your own adventure. Just head to LA and then decide, you know, where you want to play. I think I'd do Miami. I'd have Miami on the list. I'd have, wow. So this isn't an NFL city, but I'd have the Bahamas on there because there is the Bahamas Bowl every year.
Atlantis would be a good venue, I think.
Atlantis would be great. Have you been to Atlantis?
Yeah. I have, growing up. You know, when you're in Florida, it's a short flight.
Yeah.
It's got some good amenities there. I once went to Atlantis, and I'm going up and down the slide there. I'm maybe 13 years old, okay? There's one other guy. He loves the slide, too, just like me. He's going up and down it. It's Mr. Rob Lowe.
What?
Wow.
Wait a minute.
Obsessed with the slide at Atlantis. Obsessed with the slide at Atlantis. Just going up and down the slide. Unbelievable. Great form, everything. Just me and him up and down the slide all day.
And are you guys on the same circuit where you guys are doing the same slides back to back?
I just remember kind of being in line behind him a handful of times. So I don't know if we were matched up exactly. You know, when you're at the pool, you got your own different rhythms. You know, maybe you're going to stop for a Diet Coke, you know, maybe your mom's going to have a burger ready to go. So you might have to remove yourself from the circuit. If you're doing slide all day, every day, you're going to have different schedules. But Rob Lowe's and I, we matched up quite a bit on that slide schedule.
So should we rate these big boards perhaps? I mean, we've got a couple of big boards out there.
Ready to rate.
Okay. So, Lorenzo, why don't you rate these big boards?
I'm sorry, Billy, I love you. You are an esteemed and a finalist, but you kind of piggyback off Kevin's destination theme. I mean, he brought up Bourbon Street and hand grenades. Like, no. You're kind of a hack. I meant to say this for a long time, but get your own material. I'm giving your big board, let's go with 1.5 shields. Wow. Kevin, you're getting a full 4 shields out of 5.
Wow.
Out of 5.
Huh.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
The shield's important. The integrity of the shield's important. Yeah. I'm giving you 4 of those. Polished, clean, ready to go.
Take that, Guardian.
I'm going to give Billy 6 pumpkins.
Wow.
Back to the pumpkins again?
I'm going to give Kevin 18 pumpkins.
Oh, wow. I appreciate that.
Wait, yeah, hey.
How big's the patch, though?
Don't let him slide with that. How many are in the patch? Yes.
The patch actually, this is kind of crazy. The patch was initially 12, and we had to overflow, bring in 6 more pumpkins.
Well, you took them from my patch to Kevin's.
I took them from your patch.
Yeah.
They were in your patch, and I took them, and I moved them to Kevin's patch. That's how good Kevin's big boards were.
I appreciate that. I don't mean to change the subject, but I just saw myself in the corner of the Zoom and I just realized I put on a blazer to eat a chicken sandwich with you guys.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering if that's just your thing that you do.
No, I was wearing a polo shirt. My wife was like, let's make sure this looks nice. So that's why I got the plate, right? And then I was like, well, I better throw a jacket on because I'm trying to look nice for this. And then I realized that I put on a blazer to eat a chicken sandwich.
Did the Rob Lowe story change your guys' ratings at all? Because I feel like that was a really strong finish.
Killer story.
100%.
Killer story. I mean,
and also, I don't think you finished your list, Billy.
No, I didn't. But you know what? They also didn't seem interested in the rest of it, so I wasn't going to bring it up. I was just like, you know what? We can be done with 3 or 4.
Billy looked like he was leaking confidence there, trying to kind of help him out.
No shot after Rob Lowe got name dropped there.
Oh, man. What am I going to say? One time I was at a hotel and one of the people from Charmed was there 20 years later. Like,
really? Which one?
I don't know. She was like, I think a mom on Pretty Little Liars, but I feel like none of you guys watched that show either.
I don't think so. What hotel were you in?
I was actually staying in Orlando at Universal's Cabana Bay Beach Resort.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was actually in a lazy river that I saw her. Yeah. Yeah. But she was doing it sans float at the time. Like she was kind of running behind her kids in the lazy river. And I was like, poor form. Like, this is about relaxing. I'm not a fan of people who are misbehaving in lazy rivers. I'm there to kind of relax, not run around and splish splash, you know?
Was this Rose McGowan?
It was not Rose McGowan.
Alyssa Milano?
It was not Alyssa Milano.
So it's the other one. It's the other older sister that disappeared like in season 5.
Yeah.
We've told a lot of stories on this podcast. I'm really curious to see the audience reception to all the various stories that we've released on this podcast. Oh, half of this is going to get
cut. It
says here the star of Charmed is Shannon Doherty. Was it Shannon Doherty?
It was not Shannon Doherty. This is why I don't remember.
How deep is your Charmed knowledge here, Billy?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm double checking that she was in Charmed because I'm pretty sure she was in
The Craft,
Charmed.
The movie. Did you confuse it with The Craft?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh.
No, it was Holly Marie Combs.
I just looked up Piper. Holly Marie Combs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. What a tale.
My Charmed knowledge, though, basically is just I would wake up the day after the NBA finals and Charmed
time.
Would be on TNT every morning because I'd fall asleep with TNT so on. And that's what we'd play every morning. Yeah.
That was like basically that was just as good as the Rob Lowe story.
I think.
Maybe even just a little bit better. Yeah. That was really good. Yeah. Really
so
good.
How many pumpkins if we just go back?
Yeah, I'm going to take 6 of those back from Kevin's patch. So now you both have 12 pumpkins
in
both
of
your patches. So, you know, you still have the 12, Kevin.
Happy to share.
It's an equitable pumpkin system. All right. So Lorenzo has a thing with pins or something.
I saw that in the show notes.
Lorenzo, talk pins to us.
Let's talk some pens, everybody. The pen is said to be mightier than the sword. Kevin, I've noticed that you yourself on Slow News Day, I can't help but see every single time you got your pen in your hand, as do I right now. I have a Vibra Fountainhead pen.
Ooh.
This thing writes like a charm. And honestly, people who like pens, I don't know. I don't think I've run into a lot of people that don't like pens. But people who like pens know what they like.
Yeah.
As we rate, as we subscribe and review, Kevin, review your ideal writing utensil. I'm assuming it's a pen.
Great. It is a pen. I'm at a competitive disadvantage here. I can't use fountain pens because I'm left-handed. Okay.
Oh.
So when you're writing, your hand drags across, yep. And if you're using a fountain pen, it's a no-go. You're smudging all over the place. So I have fountain pens. I have very nice fountain pens given to me by my father, only for decoration. Put them on a desk, make them look nice. If you want me to sign something, I'm sorry, I can't do it with a fountain pen. If it's a check, it's just going to end up all smudgy. So I use a lot of ballpoint pens, very nice ballpoint pens. I was gifted a set of, a group of Mont Blanc pens, which is what I tend to, this is what I'm holding right now. And that's what I tend to use on Slow News Day. And the reason I do that is because my father gave them to me as a wedding gift to continue on this theme. I wrote him a thank you note afterwards. And so when I do that on Slow News Day, it's just a signal to my dad that I'm thinking about him and I love him. And so that's why I use that pen. I also, you talk with my hands a lot. And it's much better to pull a Lee Corso and you're pointing and you just got the Lee Corso pencil move. Otherwise, you just feel a complete maniac. If you have a pen, the difference between looking like a dignified hand talker and a maniac is holding a nice pen in your hand. It is so important. If you're just flailing all over the place with your hands, my advice to you is to get a pen. Maybe get two pens.
Don't get two pens because I had a situation. You know what I do sometimes?
Two pens.
Don't get two pens because sometimes I'll clip the two pens together if they have a little clip
disaster.
On it. And then that's I start overkill. Doing a thing where I spin it like a helicopter and I look like a maniac. I look insane because I'm just fidgeting with the pens the whole time and I'm just spinning it around. And like people will have reached out and grabbed my hand and like asked me to like stop without saying stop. Like you got to stop spinning the pen. It's very distracting.
That is
so the problem. There is the two pens and not you.
Yeah. I always thought it was the pens.
Sixth best NFL analyst for you guys, Billy Gill.
Likes
to clip pins together and spin them around like a helicopter
while he's grinding tape.
It's kids. Listen, we all have our methods.
How do we feel about like? Wait. I want to deep dive into pens, people. This is blocked off for a reason.
Kevin, you got another 30 to do on pens?
I wanted to ask about novelty pens. Like, do we all like and subscribe to the ones where, like, you know, you hold them up and they slide? Usually they're adult themed, but
yeah, and people start undressing. That's the kind of pens that he's using on Slow News Day. So
no, but they used to have them in Disney World, and it was like Mickey going through the monorail.
Yeah,
the multicolor pens that you.
Those are the ones. Those are the ones his dad got for his wedding.
The one that has like has like 50 different. You put the little thing down, and all of a sudden you're writing in purple or blue or whatever it is. Yeah,
everyone.
I feel like those have gone out of style.
Not in my heart. Yeah. Everyone tried to do the two at a time, like two or three. Try to like cram,
and you could do it pretty easily.
Somehow, sometimes they would go through. You have like a multi line.
It's like when you go to a fast food restaurant, and you do the you
mix all put the
every you mix all the sodas together.
Yeah,
kind of. I don't know. I never did that.
No,
though.
It tastes like crap when you do that.
Yeah,
like people will be like, I want a Diet Coke and Sprite. Well, what? That's terrible. Just because you're different doesn't mean it's going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand it at all.
Lorenzo, was there a question in there about that?
No, I just want to know. I wanted to talk pens. I mean, it's all about everyone's all in computers
your thoughts?
Now and phones. I like the old fashioned just pen to paper. That feeling of just letting
I was in London with my wife right before the pandemic and we went to a couple stationery stores and I thought I was a big stationery guy. Okay, guys.
Language.
So I got the nice pen already, didn't buy it, but I'm like, I'm gonna get a nice notebook. I was in way above my head. First of all the nice notebooks are like $600.
Yep.
Okay. Really? In London. Yeah. They move at a different speed over there. Okay. Like you want a leather notebook and it's just like, what am I doing? I can't make rent because I bought two notebooks here. Okay, guys. Like that is, I was above, way in above my head when I was trying to shop for some stationery in England.
Yeah.
Kevin, do you have custom stationery then? Do you have
no I tried to get it and I was blown out of the water.
No you have to do that. How about a wax seal?
I had a wax seal when I was younger. Let me ask you, Lorenzo, if I had a wax seal, how would I use it? Like a big K, right? You stamp it
first name. I have an L, so
you probably wouldn't get my name.
It's beautiful. Yeah, nice little touch.
I would just wonder what, you know, what are you sending with that?
Thank you note.
You know what? That brings it full circle. That was my mistake. It wasn't, you know, taking 2+ years, 3 years to send thank you notes after my wedding. It wasn't the cursive. I just didn't have the right pen.
Yeah.
I need a wax case seal with Kevin's name on it. That really would have done it. Kevin, you've been great to spend the time talking about all sorts of odd, bizarre things, ranging from eating chicken sandwiches that we thought were okay to entertaining Lorenzo's pen tangents. Thanks for joining us. And, you know, again, in the spirit of the show, give us a little rating on how this segment went. Give us a little bit of feedback here. I loved this.
I need to ask Lorenzo, was there something about me that you wanted to ask about the pens, or were you just like really into pens last week and you're just like, I gotta talk about pens?
I saw myself in you. You're always with a pen, and I wanted to know what's the thought process behind
it? Okay. So it was specific to me.
We found out what makes a great NFL analyst. What makes a great pen?
I'm honored about that. Guys, I love this. I'm giving this 5 stars. This is a 5-tool podcast.
Let's go.
Yes. We're a 5-star podcast.
It's a 5-tool
great
podcast.
Notebooks.
5-tool podcast. That's right. We're a 5-tool podcast. Kevin Clark, subscribe to the Ringer NFL show. Go watch Slow News Day, wherever you can find that on the Ringer's internet. And yeah, thanks so much for joining us, Kevin.
Anytime, guys. Really enjoyed it.
Guys, that was great and all. Kevin Clark was amazing, but I think we truly whiffed. We missed, like, I didn't even get to ask him about Ryan Fitzpatrick getting married at a McDonald's. We had McDonald's crispy chicken sandwich. We had a football expert, Billy Gill, and we didn't bring those two together with a Ryan Fitzpatrick proposal story.
Did he really get engaged at McDonald's?
Was he engaged or married?
He got proposed. He proposed in
so he got engaged.
He proposed.
He proposed.
He got proposed.
Was this like a mutual proposition?
He proposed. What did I say? First? He got proposed.
Ooh, imagine if he did it with an onion ring.
That's what I was thinking. This scalding hot onion ring on the finger. Curly fry, baby.
Ooh, no. curly fry ring.
McDonald's curly fry. Ooh,
maybe a Happy Meal ring.
Wait, McDonald's curly fries? They don't have curly fries.
Special order for an engagement.
Yeah. It's in the secret
special
menu.
Special engagement, secret menu.
So next time you go, it's one of the off the menu items. Ask them for the curly fries.
Yeah. Say Ryan Fitzpatrick had him when he got proposed.
No, that's not a thing. That doesn't exist.
It is. Like, have you not heard of Starbucks secret menu? McDonald's has secret menu, curly fries.
No, you're not gonna win this. There's no I look at my portly physique. I've been to McDonald's numerous times, not anymore as much, but I know that they don't have a curly fry at all. That's like
secret menu.
No, that's no secret menu.
What a rube you are. You've been to McDonald's all these times.
This isn't In-N-Out. This
you didn't even order out the secret menu.
Mm-hmm.
Real shame.
Wait, is there a secret menu?
Look it up.
We also missed one big thing. We missed highlighting our review of the week. Charlie, you ruined the mystery rate segment, but we still have to be good to our listeners who actually sent us some reviews.
That's well said, Lorenzo. Took the words right out of my mouth. We have some housekeeping from the prior show. We told you, yes, you, the listener out there, to watch a YouTube video called Leslie Nielsen's Bad Golf Made Easy. And then we said, hey, give us a little mystery rating and we'll just see how many of those come in. And there were some fan submissions. What do you know? So we have a tweet from @aboogieraps and it says, I'm 17 minutes into Leslie Nielsen's Bad Golf Made Easier. And wow, this is how golf should be played. I think I'll have 10 pages of notes by the time this is over. Thank you, aboogieraps.
So what should we do for next week? So any suggestions?
How about you, the listener, sends us suggestions?
Ooh.
Mm, seemed to work out last time.
Yeah, what should we try? I like the fact that we tried a sandwich live. We should keep that going.
Mm, nice. Yeah, we could do food. We could do wine.
Bungee jump?
Bungee jumping. Was that actually your review bungee jumping? So
this would be interesting to do live on a Zoom.
I could be in for
GoPros
that.
GoPros now.
GoPros?
Yeah, and, GoPros can.
We could review log into Zoom.
Yeah.
What else?
No such thing as a bad idea, huh?
That's exactly right.
That's what they say.
That is what they say.
Any final thoughts?
Work hard. Nope.
Work hard and nope.
Work hard, be kind. Rate, subscribe, review. We'll talk to you guys next time. Thanks, Zoe.
Bam! We're back. KC, huh? Some good old KC.
Kansas City. What?
Kevin Clark.
Kevin Clark strikes me as someone who, maybe in a bygone era, or maybe can even still, like, throw like a middle initial in his name. He feels like he should be like Kevin H. Clark or something.
Yeah.
Kevin F. Clark.
What would you guys say is the percentage chance that I'll be invited on Newsday with Kevin Clark, Slow Newsday with Kevin Clark at some point?
Yeah, you should get the name of the show right first.
Yeah. Well, Billy's going to edit that. Yeah. So Billy's going to edit it so it sounds right. Just Slow Newsday with Kevin Clark.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I edited that.
Witty, to answer my question, percentage chance that I'm on that at some point?
I think 3%.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. It's a little high. I appreciate that. That was very nice of you. Billy, a little home and home? You on Slow Newsday?
Doubtful. I wish I would have known the car thing before talking to him.
Yeah.
His piece in which he described that only came out after you recorded this. So
yeah.
It's unfortunately when you missed the boat on.
Tends to happen there.
Yeah.
Hey guys, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast, huh? See? A little full circle there.
Yeah. Do that. Okay. Rate, subscribe, review to this podcast, Mystery Crate. Guys, I'm going to let you in on a secret. We're trying to take down all the other podcasts on this network, and we're trying to be number one. And by the way, we have been for a little bit now. So if you want to keep making Mystery Crate the most downloaded podcast on this network, rate, subscribe, review.
Leave bad reviews for South Beach Sessions. That's a good idea, right, Woody?
I don't think we should.
Unsubscribe to South Beach.
Unsubscribe to all of them. Stupidity. Yes. Unsubscribe.
Don't do that. I'm kidding.
Show unsubscribe.
And then resubscribe. And then
make us number one.
Do it three times for us. Yes.
Start making fake accounts and subscribe to our things even more.
Yeah.
We want to be the top of a rising surf. I don't think we want to bring everyone else down so we could rise.
The top's the top. You know what I mean?
Nah. Yeah. The tide can stay down. Let's surf high with the tide being low.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well said.
yes.
Bye.